from my perspective, and I've spoken about this before, there is a modern ideology to make the cosmos and the spiritual planes function in a cold, machine-like manner. So this is the movement that wants to call the cosmos a simulation. It operates as basically a computer, a machine, right? This is basically an harmonic idea. It's an harmonic way of describing things, like a machine, a cold machine, right? And in reality, you know, nothing in the cosmos functions like a machine, really. When you really look at it, it's actually beings. So actually everything is alive, which is the opposite of a machine. And everything that happens, whether it be the birth process, the life process, every plant, everything is actually guided by the spiritual hierarchies, which are beings. So every process in existence, from how the planets spin and why, to why your flowers grow in the garden, to sickness, to health, these are all actually processes that we experience and we see as invisible, but behind that is really spiritual beings. And so to call the cosmos like a machine or just a simulation is basically to deny the reality of the spiritual hierarchies, which also happens in the Luciferic harmonic belief system of alien gods, which has this whole, you know, alien pantheon of Sirian beings and Arcturian beings and this being and that being. And it's like, that is also to stop humanity from learning the spiritual hierarchies. Now, it's obviously, a lot of it is not done consciously. I describe it that way for simplicity, but I don't necessarily think that everybody is out there getting together like with a phone tree, calling each other, preventing people from understanding the spiritual hierarchies. No. What's happening is that there is an harmonic, hypermaterialistic mindset that's causing us to perceive the cosmos in a materialistic way, and also in a luciferic way. And so it's actually our perception that is doing this, right? And so we have to be very careful that we're not removing the spiritual hierarchies, which includes elemental beings, because elemental beings are just at the technically the bottom of the spiritual hierarchy. You know, the superhuman beings are the typical angels. Well, the elemental beings are, you know, humans in the making one day. So, you know, it's sort of like they're removing the system. What if we look at I'll put it this way. If we look at the cosmos as though it's basically one neutral machine, you know, one simulation, then we're not going to understand how human beings actually evolve in the cosmos. Okay, we're not going to understand the process of initiation, because even every single plane is really a great being that we move within. Our cosmos is actually one great being that we move within. So it's actually incorrect to call something a simulation and describe it that way, because that's actually a being. It's like calling you a robot. Are you a robot or are you a living being? You're a living being. So it is this impulse that mechanizes things, that makes things a machine, that are living, that are organic. And it is something we have to be very careful for, because it's very trendy. And it also is very seductive, because people don't want to use religious language. And so they think, well, I don't want to use the term angel or archangel, or I don't want to use the term Dayani Kohan, which is the Eastern term for angels. And so because I have my own fear and my own pain around religion, I'm going to create a new paradigm. But the problem is, you can't create a new paradigm. We can only observe what is, and our best way to do that is to tap into and connect with the mystery teachings of the last several thousand years that have already existed. So a lot of this, the cosmos is a machine, the cosmos is a simulation, it literally comes from a luciferic impulse as well to deny tradition, to fear tradition, and to want to create something new as though you're discovering it for the first time. And there can be a selfishness in that as well, because it's like, then I discovered it, right? But the real way that we understand the cosmos is by understanding what the ancients said about it. And we have to understand exactly what their consciousness was, right? And, you know, what it means. And then we can take a more neutral approach that's not using religious language and things like that to try to clarify that. But we have to use both. We can't just abandon all of the classical knowledge, because the temptation is too great to just create a system that is only in the image of our fallen aspects, if that makes sense. And so the whole thing about near-death experiences and the Akashic records being AI generated, that is how the lower astral plane appears. So if you remember my lecture on the electric apocalypse, we discussed the underworld or the subatomic plane, the inner planes, and how they function is actually like a machine. And so how you know when somebody is basically just describing the lower astral plane is they basically start talking about the cosmos like it's one big machine, one big AI simulation. It's like you're talking literally about the lower astral plane, and you're describing the lower astral plane, which does behave like a machine, as though it's the entire cosmos. That's just inaccurate. Okay, the lower astral plane is not the entire cosmos. It's the lower astral plane. There are several planes above that, including the higher astral plane. All of these planes you can only really understand and interact with when your heart is purified, right? And so what happens is people start to like look into the cosmos thinking it's objective. It's not objective. And most of the time, unless we're very advanced spiritually, the first time you look into the cosmos, you're probably going to look into the lower astral. And you're probably going to have to work through all of these lower aspects of yourself before you can really truly see beyond that. And it takes a lot of work to be able to do that, many different lifetimes. So the reason why people also think it that way is because how we see spiritual energy from our mindset is we kind of see it as streams or like intelligences. But the only reason why we just see it as streams or intelligences is because we are not yet completely self-aware. So we only see it as we are. If we were to really see, we would see these as beings. We would see ourselves not tapping into just a stream of consciousness. We would actually see that as being a being, a living being. But because we are not yet ourselves completely spiritually awakened, which means our being isn't fully awake and aware, we're not seeing the beings behind everything. We're just seeing a fragment. And then we're trying to create a cosmology based on these fragments. And these fragments appear just like machines. But that's because of where we are. Does this make sense, you guys? So, in other words, higher beings and their consciousness has a sense of neutrality to it, for sure. And there are here's the other thing too. Like, we call it the Akashic Records, right? But like, it's really the consciousness of a great being, right? So it's like we're calling it that, not because that's actually what it is. We're calling it that because that's what we would call a library. It doesn't mean that the word Akashic Records is actually describing the astral experience or the astral thing. Does that make sense? I hope this is making sense. Okay. And so there's certain beings that became essentially trapped on the earth And then there were many kind of celestial beings from the spiritual hierarchies that people would incorrectly call aliens, or not aliens, are actually directly connected to humanity. They ended up leaving, right? And so there was a fallen group that was became directly associated with the earth, and particularly the inner earth, where they were, it was much easier for them to survive. And now a lot of people think these are aliens, but it's really the way into understanding that is actually to understand Atlantis. And that's really where we begin. It's not that we can know, you know, every single secret about the cosmos and every single little nuanced battle that happened in Atlantis or in Lemuria. This whole conversation is really about, where do we begin? So where do we begin our analysis? Where is the correct place or the best place that we begin our conversation about beings from other worlds? It's not about completely understanding the Martians and completely understanding the fallen angels or acting like that. It's really, for me, it's really about, where do we begin this conversation? Where do we start? And if we start in the right place with the right paradigm, we can move forward correctly. If we start with the incorrect paradigm in the wrong place, in some kind of weird fragmented ideology, then we're going to go off the rails and eventually have to come back to the truth anyway. So how these sort of fallen angels have stayed in the human life wave was honestly different depending on the civilization and the epoch, because the laws were different. So in very early periods, even in the Lemurian period, there were actually dark astral forces that wanted to enter into the human body. And these forces were technically inhuman. And there was a massive battle in heaven in Lemuria, where there were angels, obviously, that were protecting humanity, that cast out many, many, many different fallen essences, cast them away from the planet, or cast them into the lower planes, because they were trying to enter into the human form. And their mindset was so fallen and degenerated and backwards that it would have eventually destroyed the planet and destroyed the form. And so the spiritual hierarchies and the angels have always been protecting us and trying to guide us so that we can develop to the point where we receive our eye and then spiritualize into a higher angelic form like them, right? So in earlier periods, there were these very subhuman, inhuman forces that were very backwards from prior developments, that were trying to incarnate into the human body to survive. Because if they can't get into the human body, they experience what in Christian esoterica we call the second death, which means basically they have to go back through the moon, black sun, Saturn corridor, and they get reamalgamated, as Edgar Cayce would say. So that's why there's a fight for a form with demonic entities, is because demonic entities are constantly fighting this downward pull into this dark corridor where it is like their destruction. It's like they're hanging on a ledge getting pulled backwards, right? And so in the Atlantean epoch, in the earlier periods, there were some darker entities that were still trying to work etherically upon the sort of ether body, like they'd be around you and they'd still be trying to cause disruptions, lower the form, before it was even physical, trying to cause imbalances in the human form, in the human body, on an etheric level, so they could enter into it. So this happened in on the astral level. It happened in the etheric level. When we were quasi-human, there were still these discordant forces in the darker age that would try to even damage the etheric form, try to make the system run backwards so they could enter into it, try to reverse polarities so they could enter into it. This is before human beings were even physical, this stuff was going on. Okay. And so then when we became physical in the Atlantean epoch, then it became all about the form, And that's when you get a lot of these weird sex magic stuff that was all about trying to summon in a certain soul. You also got into like Rosemary's Baby kind of stuff. You also got into the high-tech mad scientists of Atlantis that were trying to create all these different forms for these different subhuman beings. So you'd have a little bit of human genetics, and then you'd mix it with a machine or an animal, and that would lower the human being just enough to allow these subhuman entities to enter, because they can't really enter into an organic human form, right? And then so in our era, in our epoch, you get some of the Rosemary's Baby stuff, but what really, really defines how these darker forces can enter the form is by damaging the human body and making it synthetic, which means by transhumanism and by genetic modification technologies that go in there and try to like make babies better or try to re-engineer human beings. That's what creates it, ironically. So in other words, how these fallen essences enter into humanity is through making the human form a little less human. It has to be kind of subhuman. Because the fallen angels, demonic forces, live in the subhuman world, right? They're not superhuman. That's the angelic hierarchies. They're no longer part of that, right? So the human form has to be lowered in order for them to enter into. And now that we're on this ascension arc and we're spiritualizing, the human body is actually becoming less and less physical every day. The planet is becoming less and less material every day. And so this is where you get this desire to create a transhumanist race, a transhumanist people. You get the hyper electrification on the earth in order to try to freeze it and pull it down. And you get all these technologies that essentially create a synthetic body and a synthetic earth. Well, that's to stop it from ascending. And that's to make it subhuman, which is the entire goal of Antichrist and of demonic entities. So I hope that answers your question. So there are cosmic laws that obviously govern incarnation, things like that. But this is why you always see these dark beings and people who are possessed by them. They always get your consent, right? A lot of people will actually just consent to these things. They'll make transhumanism look like it's the greatest thing, amazing. It's going to be amazing. They'll introduce it as being able to heal all of these degenerative diseases, which at that level, I mean, perhaps that's okay, you know, if that were genuinely all it was. And then the end game is something else. So in other words, the reason why they're allowed to do this is because humanity is tricked and they, by their own free will, consent to all of this. And so, they wouldn't be able to necessarily force themselves because they would incur too much karma. The problem is that people consent to it. Understanding esoterica is only in its lowest form a intellectual pursuit. You know, that's actually really only dealing with the lowest level of our minds. These texts and the whole body of esoteric Christianity itself, but every other, you know, impulse as well, it's really about remembering this and developing a sort of spirituality within yourself where you actually know it to be true. That is really what this is all about. Okay, so that's why, despite Christ actually existing and Jesus actually existing and doing these things, it wasn't, you know, they didn't go to all these efforts to prove, they could have, to prove he existed. It's because that's not the point. The point is to have every single person be able to connect with him spiritually, and that ability to do that and to remember your ancient past and to remember the Christ essence is actually a huge part of spiritual development. So it's actually the act of remembering that defines Christianity. It's the act of remembering Christ that proves Christ, not just some DNA or something somewhere, which is something that, you know, many people, even in the Christian faith, don't understand yet.